Welcome to the Atom Ventures podcast. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director of Atom Ventures and Atom CTO. And today I'm here with Bruno Cambrais from Data Feast. Say hello, Bruno.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me again.
Right. So what I want to talk to you today about is obviously Data Feast, the whole emerging world of food tech, your entrepreneur journey. But I also like to hone in on your process of creating an MVP. So how was it? How did you do it? How did you find the tech, et cetera, et cetera? But before we get into all of that, tell us a bit about yourself. From what I understand, you're a sales executive involved in business development, and you decided to start your own startup. What was the reason behind that?
Basically, it was my dream. If someone asked me before, like, what do you want to do for a living? I always said, like, I want to have my own business. I want to build my own future. And I've been working in sales for so many years, and always I have my eye open for some market opportunities or something that I believe that I can help with. And then last year, I think everything came together and I saw huge potential in the food tech industry, more precisely like the business intelligence platforms using data. That's when I decided it's time to chase my future, to chase my dream. And that's when I start Data Feast in August of 2020.
It's quite a bold thing to do, start a business that is tied to the food industry and the service sector during the pandemic.
Yes, actually the pandemic has just helped us accelerate a lot what we're doing now. Because even before the pandemic, I've been working with online business, e-commerce, helping FMCG brands like Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and all those food and beverage brands. I was working with them in how to sell their products online. And always, even before the pandemic, I was start to see some trends going towards the online food delivery industry. And when the pandemic hit everywhere and you start to have a lockdown, it only accelerate this process. And this is like, now is the moment. Now is the moment to definitely have like some need this market. So now it is the moment to start Data Feast and help this market because they have a huge opportunity and have a huge problem that we can help to solve.
So what does Data Feast do?
So Data Feast is a business intelligence platform for every business that is part of the online food delivery ecosystem. So when I talk about online food delivery, so in my companies like Deliveroo, Uber Eats, Just Eat, Glovo, and so on, so many companies start as well since the pandemic start that is quite difficult to count. And with our platform, we build a platform to help those business to understand and to give visibility what's happening with their product inside of this platform. So imagine if you are an FMCG brand company or food, sell beer and you have your product on Deliveroo. So we help them to understand where the product have been selling. They have been selling which stores, what is the price, what is the image, all this data inside of this online food delivery we can provide to our customers.
So that sounds like it sounds like a complex proposition, but it also sounds like you need to get on board the delivery apps, the delivery companies. So how did you go about starting the relationship? How did you go about building it? I guess my question to you is, how did you start building the MVP and what was the process behind that?
When we identified this problem, especially when accelerate during the pandemic, of course, because no one could go to the shop to buy your groceries. When we identify this problem as something that we can help, we have a lot of questions in my mind. I have my business partner as well. We were discussing about this. And actually, the first thing that become like, we identify that we can get this data different ways. But once we have the data, we have to present this data in a platform that is easy to use, that is friendly. And that's when we start to have some question, how to build this platform, right? And then we start first, because me and my business partner, we are not tech at all. In the beginning, I've been working sales for all my career. We never developed any software. We never did anything related. Then we start to look around, so maybe have to invite some tech guy to join the business. But at the end, we decide to build ourselves. And then we look in the market, we see some amazing companies. They're building like Bubble, they have AppSheet. So there's quite a few in the marketing. that the cells is the low code platforms that you can build in your any type of app, any type of web platform. And that's when we start. We decide, let's do ourselves. Let's, you know, even that we don't have that experience, let's just do it. And then when we start to learn about this platform, as we start to build, we start to do everything by ourselves.
And so how difficult was it to start beginning? Because obviously, as you say, you're not very technical yourselves, but you're trying to create a technical app, a technical proposition. Yeah. So what were the main challenges at the very beginning?
At the beginning, it doesn't look that challenge. Because if you go to all these platforms, they say, oh, it's no code. So you don't need to have, you don't need to write a line of code. You don't need to do anything. Okay, that looks easy. But once you start to work, you realize it's not that simple. Because they have a lot of things they have to consider. When you're building a web platform, you have to consider that, okay, they do what I want, but the design is not that good. So you have to build in like a design. So, okay, how I build the best design ever? So then you have to start to have to look around all the platforms, all the websites and see that they're doing. Okay, I found this design that looks amazing, that looks great. So now I have to make sure that I'm going to design the same design. And now, oh, but the people use on mobile, they use on your laptop. So you have to be responsive so they can have a really good experience in any device. So what is the best way to build for all devices? So then after a while, when we start, it looks quite easy. But when we start to really deep down and building our MVP, then the challenges start. Or your design is not right. It doesn't look right. So you build the rebuilding sometimes and until you find the perfect way and the perfect design. It took a while. It took a few months. Of course, now if I want to build a new platform that is not DataFish, it would be much easier. But you definitely have this learned curve to build this platform.
So I guess the question is, was it worth the learning curve? So if you think about it, that you may have spent a couple of months trying to build this platform in Bubble or whichever platform you used, you could have been doing other things with that time. Was it simply because of the money, or was it the challenge that you wanted to do it anyway and see how it was? Now, how did you kind of cope with that? Did you think that I'm actually, as you got into it and you found things were bigger than that you expected, did you start thinking, well, is my time best spent here?
Actually, it's a really good question, because we have been questioned ourselves since when we start to build the platform. Right? So we can spend the money for companies to building our MVP. That'd be great. That'd be great, because very fast they can build the MVP and the way that is really designed for the marketing is everything basically is ready for you. It's there. But on the other hand, we that's why we decide to build ourselves. If you do it by yourself, it's going to take a little bit longer, but we have full control in what you want to do. So now everything that we, you know, it took like since October when that we start, and for now it's basically it's done. I'm talking about 7-8 months, and probably if you ask for, you know, hire some third party or some company to build by yourself, maybe it'll be like 3 months. That depends on the company that you work with. But even though we spend this 8 months, anything that we want to do, if we have to change something, we have this knowledge to do ourselves. So I think that the long term, it will be more beneficial. That's why we decide at the time to build ourselves. But if someone don't need to have this full control of your platform, I please advise go and find some company to do your MVP. It really depends. Every business have different needs, but that's what the need for us to do ourselves.
So would you go back and use it again? Like, would you, I think you're using Bubble, right? Yeah. So would you go back and do the same again, or would you do it differently?
No, I think for now, I think I'm still doing myself, because the benefit for us to have this knowledge about our platform is great. So if someone, we had a conversation with potential customers and they said like, can you add one thing more, like one new dashboard? Can you add this type of data? So we very quickly, we can do it. We can change. It's still, as mentioned, still have a challenge as well, because every time I'm looking at the platform, I don't have much time to prospect. I don't have much time to do other stuff. That's why this is the the key thing that I believe that we did data feed is I take care of all the tech part, and my business partner, you do the rest. So he doesn't need to care about the tech part, and I go straight and just work every day and try to improve our product. So that's why if we come back in the past, I think we definitely do the same for our business needs. So other companies, other business could be different. It depends on the business what they decide.
So what I find interesting here is that because there's two of you, you could share the burden. So would you say that if it's a single person, one person, a solopreneur, would that be taking on too much to try and do?
Yeah, definitely. Get my scenario. If I was by myself starting data feed, I would not be able to build the platform on my own. Because when you talk about business, you have different needs. You have to be in touch with the market. You have to be in touch with your customer. And you have to build in your platform. So even just to do the platform, it's a lot of things you have to consider and think and learn. And you're not going to have time at all to do the other very important part, to be in touch with customer, to think about the commercial part of your business, to think about trends and other stuff. So if you're by yourself, don't have experience building a platform or MVP, I don't recommend to do it on your own. Go outside, find some companies that can help you with, and then you focus on the commercial part. Because at the end of the day, you need to sell this platform. You need to be in touch with the market. So that's why I recommend.
So how much more confident are you now talking to techies? So let's say you hit a point that you reach a number of customers, which means that you cannot handle the tech development on your own, and actually maybe there are limitations in what you can do and amount you can scale. I'm not saying there are, but there might be. So how confident has this process made you in being able to talk to companies like ours, let's say, or other tech companies, and get the right information back from them and ensure that you get the right price? Because I think a lot of problems that people, startup founders, have is that they'll go to a company to go and get something built, but they won't understand whether the price they're being quoted is the correct price.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is a big challenge. Not just if the correct price. Maybe I could charge more, or maybe I have to charge less. So it's very difficult, especially in the beginning, because you know you have to do this study in how much the market is open to spend on your product. And when I build my own, when we building our own MVP, our own platform, gives us much more confidence to understand how much the cost involved on doing all the service. So we understand that, okay, for this amount of customers that we talking, or this amount of data that they want, we're going to need this amount of efforts on our side. We need to have this many number of people. And then we help us to give the most correct price to our customer. So definitely this was really helpful on our side. Even if something wrong happened, because it could happen. Sometimes you give a price and then you identify that, oh no, I shouldn't charge more because I have this extra cost that I didn't consider. So if you have the power to do it yourself, I think you get a little bit more protected on this side as well.
So do you think there's going to be a point in time where you'll want to hand this work over to a third party? So hire in additional developers or maybe build on a different platform?
Yeah, this is the idea. Because it's just me and my business partner, as the business grows, the idea is to have more people inside, the people internally, to take over what I'm doing now, to update the platform, even change the platform if the case in the future. And then I can focus more in the strategy and to always pay attention to what the market is doing and try to build and keep ahead what's happening in the market. But this is definitely the idea once we grow. Bring more people inside to take care of tech. Because again, it's a lot of things you have to consider. If you see just the platform, you have to design and you have to maintain the platform. So this is a work sometimes. If you're working with so many customers, it's one person job. If you're by yourself, you have to do this part. And then which is one of the big thing from our platform is the data that we have. We collect the data. We organize the data. We work a lot of data. So we have to make sure the data is right. We have to make sure to find some trends looking at the data. So it is a lot of work that, again, is a one-person job that can do this all day, looking at all this data. And now we just have me doing everything. But this is the idea. You know, now we have proof of concept and growing, have more people to do those, to hand over all this job.
So one of the things you mentioned a while back was ensuring that the data that you're capturing is presented in a easy to use, easy to understand manner.
Yeah.
So, exactly. And you obviously said that it was quite a process for you to get the design right. So my question is, you know, how much time did you spend with users, potential users, and to get feedback and iterate through that process? Was it, did you, were you quite focused on the UI UX?
Yeah. Yeah. I took quite a lot of UI UX. I think I believe that it's a nice platform, you sell easier, you know, when you see for the first time. It's not just UI, UX, right? So if you don't provide the right data or the right information for our customer, it doesn't matter. You have the best platform in the world, because at the end of the day, what they want to know is to have some information that they don't have right now and that will help their business. So that's why when we was developing the MVP, it's not just about UI or UX, but we have a lot of conversation with the people in the market, with our customer, to understand what they want to see, what type of information will be beneficial for them using our platform, how they can grow their business, what type of information they like to have that they don't have now. And then together we build all this feature, functionality that will be very beneficial for the market based on all this conversation that we have. And then we build the UI and UX based on all this conversation.
All right, so let's do a little bit of a deep dive into Data Feast. Mm-hmm. So obviously you've talked about being able to get information on products that are within the food delivery apps. So what more do you give? Who is your key target audience, and what are you offering them? What is the value? What's the advantage of using Data Feast?
We can work with any business that is part of the online food delivery ecosystem. But at the moment, we are focused in one particular persona, that is the FMCG brand. Talk about FMCG, basically, if you think about companies like Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, any beer company, any food, any product that you see in the supermarket. So we call FMCG. And our target at the moment is those companies. Because if you come back in the past, before the pandemic, if you went to Deliveroo, Uber Eats, any of these online food delivery apps, the only thing that you can buy is your dinner, is your lunch, your meal. When the pandemic starts, they start to build a new industry inside of the online food delivery that is the grocery offer, they call. And when they have the grocery offer there, you see all these FMCG brands with their products inside of the platform. And for the FMCG brands, they have no idea which retailer is selling their product. Are they selling with the right image? Are they selling the right price? Are they selling what description they use? And that is a huge problem for not just for the FMCG companies, but also for the consumer, because they want to have the best experience when they look to online food delivery. They want to identify the right price, the right image that sells this product. And that's what comes Data Feast. We can help all FMCG companies to identify which stores they have been selling, if the product is available, is not available, but also to unlock all the stores that is online food delivery that brand is not being selling. So maybe you have 20 in a particular region that you have your product, then we can help monitor, giving visibility and control about the data. But then you can have like 20 more stores that you don't have your product. And with our platform, they can identify all these trends, their products, and also expand to selling in new stores as well.
So on your website, you've got you say that Data Feast can be defined in four letters. COPPA.
COPPA.
So collect, organize.
Exactly.
Yeah, collect, organize, prioritize, action. Can you just go through that a little bit and try and give the listeners a little bit of an understanding of how does it exactly work?
Yeah. Exactly. COPPA, that's what we came through, these words that really describe what's our software. So first, when we work with us, the first thing that we do, we collect all your data. So we collect all the data on online food delivery. Once we have all this data collect, we organize in a simple way that is easy for them to identify what's happening with their products, with their stores. Once we organize and identify what's happening with their products, they can prioritize what actions they have to take. Prioritize the big. So if you have 10 products that is out of stock, so they will know in the top, like, this is the biggest issue that you have inside of online food delivery that you have to solve right now. And then we have the last letter, that action. So once you identify all these problems, so you can use the platform to take action. You can create an action. You can identify if you fix these issues of out of stock, for example, how much you're going to increase the sales potential. So how much is it going to increase? So every action they take and put inside of the platform, they can start to have a curve to understand how much they can potentialize their sales inside of online food delivery.
What's on the roadmap coming up? So you've obviously got an initial MVP out. What does that do? And then what's next?
Yeah, it's a lot of things going on inside of this market. So for now, we are focused on the solution for FMCG brands. But we're coming soon as well, building solutions also for the other business inside of this ecosystem. When I talk about restaurants, we also is huge, it's still the biggest part of revenue inside of this app. So we're going to build some platform for those type of business. Now they have a new functionality. They have a new offer as well online for the live called Dark Kitchen that we see as a new trend that we have a really close eye to identify potential opportunities on this side. And also we see in the different online food delivery where brands is going direct to consumer. So this is another thing that we are really looking very close to see how we can serve our customers to help them grow their business.
The whole dark kitchen thing has been quite crazy. We've come across a number of companies in the last 3-4 months that are all concentrating on dark kitchens. And I didn't, you know, there's burger brands and all sorts of different brands being created out there direct to market. And you know, I always wonder how many pictures of burgers you need to see on your Instagram feed, but you know, there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It is so crazy to see how much this industry grows. Of course, the pandemic accelerates a lot, but I think this is the beauty about this industry. Have so much things going on, and the companies and the business to figure out how is the best way to operate this and how is the best way to improve the revenue. So Dark Kitchen is definitely one. It's pretty, the first time when I hear about this, oh, this is really clever. This is really nice. So now that's why we really have a really close eye to identify potential opportunities that we can serve our customers.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of potential because, as I said, these things are popping up all over the place, and there's a lot more emphasis on creating the brand and the devising the product and leaving everything else going forward, so production and distribution in the hands of others. So I think it's very interesting. I mean, I guess the one thing is that everyone needs to eat, right?
It's the only thing that you can stop to buy anything. Like you have to eat. It's something that you never stop to buy. You always have to eat. You always have to buy groceries. That's a great thing for this market as well. So that's why I'm so excited to be part of this transformation.
So are you live now in private beta? Because I see that you have a waiting list.
Yeah. We have the waiting list, and this waiting list was great for us. We saw so many positive feedback from the market. A lot of big brands come to us, try to understand, to sign up for the wait list, and they helped a lot for us to develop our platform based on all feedback that we have. And now we're starting a POC, a proof of concept with a huge global FMCG brand. And in the coming weeks, we will be full operated the product in the market.
So this is very interesting because you've got a large global customer, but the technology is still low code or no code actually. So it means that you can scale without having to, well, not necessarily invest lots of time, but you've invested a lot of time, but you don't necessarily have to invest a lot of money to build a scalable platform.
Yeah, that's the beauty of low code. Of course, depends what you want to do. Depends of your business, but for our business in particular. So we can use the low code. That is the especially because it, you can scale a few functionalities inside. It would be a bit more expensive, but you still do it. And then we, one of the things that we did, because we have the low code, we have the platform that you're going to see the data, but then we have a lot of things behind the scene that where we process the data, how we send the data, we connect with some APIs that is also working pretty well. And yeah, this is the brilliant thing. Exactly what you said. We don't need to build a huge, spend a lot of money in a lot of infrastructure. We can use a lot of things that is available in the market.
So if you were going to give advice to founders who are listening to this about your whole journey, I mean, what have been the biggest challenges? If you went back to the start now, what would you do differently and how would you get ahead of the problems that you faced, perhaps?
A lot of advice that I can give, of course, you try a lot of things and something doesn't work. And you go two steps forward and three come back, two steps back. But the biggest advice, like if you think to have your own business, is just do it. Just don't, sometimes, of course, plan as much as you can, but the plans, once you start to build your own business, sometimes the plan is not, the things that happen is not like you plan. So that's why just do it. So we didn't have tech experience when we started and we decided to build our own platform. And when I look back, what's the best thing that I did? You know, just go and do it. But also in another advice that I think works well with us, for us, and I advise everyone, talk with the market, be always open. Even when we start to build your own platform, go out to talk with your potential customer, not just customers, but talk with potential partners. Be open to receive any feedback, any conversation that you have in the market, because this is going to help a lot for you to build the best platform that you can have. And always, sometimes you have some advice. I have a lot of people out there that is open to help you. So don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Go talk to people. They have loads of places and companies that you can be part of community of with founders. Sometimes have all the founders is really open to help you. So don't be shy. Be out there. Talk with people and don't be afraid to start your own business. Just do it. And because the journey at the end, even the journey, I'm really enjoying the journey. It's so amazing every day. Learn something new. It is amazing.
Perfect. So last question for you is, how do people get in touch with you? If they like what they hear and they want to learn more about Data Feast or learn more about your experience with Bubble, how do they get in touch?
You can reach out to us via website, datafeast.tech. We also have our LinkedIn, Data Feast. But also you guys can contact me directly on my email. My email is bruno@datafeast.tech.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot for that, Bruno. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I think anyone who's starting out on their journey, deciding on whether they want to hire or build tech, this has given them a good basis on which to make a decision.
Yeah, of course. And anyone, if you want to reach out to me, have any questions, just email me and I'll be happy to come back to you.
Excellent. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like what you hear, then please subscribe. We're the Atom Ventures podcast, and you can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all the great podcasting sites. Please also leave a review, and if you want to get in contact, then please visit our site, atomcto.com. You can find us on LinkedIn under Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, and you can email us at info@atomcto.com.